Chapter 31. The entire Senate unanimously declared an official period of mourning for the death of Tylin Garr. In her darker hours, Leia wondered if the centrists had gone along with it only for show, but she thought probably most of the sentiment was sincere. Nobody, regardless of political faction, wanted to see elections decided by radical fringe assassins. They were all unified in another belief, however, one that horrified Leia. Arlys Hadrasian had been the terrorist, the criminal, and the true threat. Thanks to the data from Cybensko, Hadrasian could be credited for the napkin bombing, for Rinriven Dai's rise, all of it by centrists and populists alike. Now that she had committed suicide, as far as the Senate was concerned, the danger was over. "You can't make an assumption like that," Leia pleaded in a small gathering of populist senators after Ty Lin's memorial service on Hosnian Prime. "Rinriven's money came from Hadrasian, but where did Hadrasian's money come from? She was an imperial soldier of the line, then a small-time businesswoman. That's not the individual who bankrolls an entire would-be army."
"Leia, please," Varish said sharply.
Tear tracks matted the golden fur on her cheeks.
"Ty Lin deserves to be grieved for in peace."
In frustration, Leia had to let it go, at least for the time being. If even one of her very few remaining close friends and allies in the Senate wouldn't listen, no one would. Yet she couldn't bring herself to believe that the investigation into the splinter groups would be tabled forever. People had the data. She'd given them the proof, and Ransom had supported her findings with his own testimony. Sooner or later, they would see the need to dig deeper, search further. Wouldn't they? The next morning, as she walked through the Senate halls, she saw a large group of people clustered around the office suite of the junior senator from Mon Cala. Within, she could hear what sounded like an official broadcast being played at high volume. "Looks like breaking news," she murmured, heading closer to the group. As she approached, she heard a few whispers.
"Just goes to show you can't trust a centrist."
"Can you believe this?"
"Looks like Princess Leia got that part wrong."
That last one broke off when the speaker saw her joining them, blushed deep green, and stepped aside. Leia only cared that she now had room to angle herself and see the hollow being projected in the middle of the senator's front office, and hear what was being reported.
"Expressed shock that a paramilitary group could have received intelligence and assistance from a member of the Galactic Senate."
Leia felt relief sweep through her, and vindication. Someone had investigated after all. Someone had reviewed the data and dared to follow the trail where it led. And while she hadn't wanted to believe that the centrists were involved, she wasn't at all surprised to hear that one of theirs had been party to this from the beginning. Then the broadcast continued.
"Senator Casterfo has already been taken into custody and, in accordance with Senate policy, will be taken for imprisonment, trial, and sentencing on his homeworld."
Ransom? They'd arrested Ransom?
"It can't be," she whispered,
nearly numb with shock.
"I know it must come as a surprise," said a more sympathetic listener, a Chandrillan staffer. "But obviously he was good at playing the game."
"No, you don't understand. It can't be. It's absolutely impossible for Ransom Casterfo to be the person responsible for this." Leia knew every moment, every step of her investigation by heart. Much of the most critical information had come from Ransom himself. He'd risked his life for her on Bastatha. He'd even called for further investigation on the Senate floor. Did everyone actually think he had done all this just to cover his tracks? Only a fool could believe that. Then Leia realized. The people who had accused Ransom didn't believe it. They'd set him up to take the fall. Greer sat in the front office of the senatorial suite in semi-darkness. The day was too cloudy for much sunlight through the windows, and she hadn't even bothered turning on the main lights. The datapad in her hands illuminated her face
as she scrolled through the recordings again and again and again. But the images never changed. The door swished open and Princess Leia hurried in, breathless. Greer, they've arrested Ransom.
I know.
Her voice shook.
I ran here the moment I heard. I thought we could clear him, that we could do it in a heartbeat.
We can. As soon as they actually watch the footage, they'll know. Leia sat down next to Greer and impatiently took the datapad from her, then stared down in disbelief. This isn't what happened.
The footage has been doctored. Thoroughly. Completely.
On the screen played an image of Ransom Casterfo shaking hands with Arlys Hadrasian as he gestured toward her starfighters. Two genuine gestures mapped together to create the illusion of approval. Greer remembered well the uneasy line Casterfo had walked with Hadrasian. He had come across as friendly, without ever lying about his enthusiasm. This showed him as an enthusiastic backer and, more important, one who had hidden his true actions from the Senate. Leia shook her head. A slicer got hold of the footage?
Casterfo opened the footage up to everyone. From there, it was easy work for a good slicer to doctor the images and make it look like the original footage was actually the fake stuff.
Greer's pulse felt too weak in her limbs, but this once she didn't think it was the blood burn. Instead, the corruption responsible for this had sickened her to the core. What kind of government could let this happen? No, what kind of government could do this? Because someone in the Senate had to be responsible, and that person was probably going to get away with it. Greer had had her frustrations with the Senate in the past, but she'd always believed there was something there worth salvaging, worth fighting for. But now she knew the Senate was rotten. Dark and soft like old fruit, grown over with mold. Nothing remained pure enough to save. Although Greer had never fully come around to liking Ransom Casterfo, she had learned to respect his abilities and integrity. More than that, he was completely innocent of the charges, and no one deserved to pay so dearly for a crime he hadn't committed. And she could only sit here and watch it happen.
Is this the peaceful life I have to live if I want to avoid dying from bloodburn? This quiet mediocrity in the service of corruption?
Leia's face paled. They'll be taking him to Ryosa today. On the next transport from the main hangar. When is that? Greer shut off the false footage and checked.
In just under an hour.
I have to go. Leia rose to her feet and headed for the door. A tiny flicker of hope ignited within Greer.
Can you stop them? Can you save him?
Leia looked back over her shoulder, already stricken with guilt and grief. No. The main hangar didn't see much traffic at this time of day, nor the monorails, which meant Leia reached the designated bay in time, barely. As she dashed through the door, winded and wobbly, she saw two New Republic soldiers leading Ransom Casterfo toward a boxy, ominous prisoner transport vessel. Ransom still wore his usual fine clothes, though they were crumpled now, and his hands were manacled in front of him.
Wait!
Leia called. All three men turned toward her. The guards looked confused, and Ransom looked resigned. She hurried toward them, trying to summon some shadow of her old authority.
I want to talk to Senator Casterfo.
The guards turned toward each other for a long moment before one said,
Our orders say we load him up now.
Leia drew herself up, allowed her gaze to become cool and commanding. Forget acting like a senator. She was a princess, and it was high time these men remembered it.
You'll be able to carry out your orders in due course. Let us speak.
They let go of Ransom that instant, stepping back several paces. It would do. Leia looked up into Ransom's eyes, and a pang went through her chest as he tried to smile. Yours is the first friendly face I've seen all day, he said, his voice steadier than she would have thought. It may be the last friendly face I ever see. I must admit,
At the moment, I sorely regret helping reinstate the death penalty on Ryosa. Horror swept through Leia. Worlds with the death penalty usually counted treason as a capital offense. Ransom would be not only wrongly convicted, but executed for crimes he had not committed. "I'll try to do something," she promised. Already her mind was desperately going through the options, finding nothing, but still hoping that somewhere, somehow, she could find a way out of this. "Call in some old favors. Ask for an independent investigation." "And you will fail." He smiled with unutterable sadness. A rare case of perfect irony. "You no longer have the power or connections to save me, precisely because I took that power away through my own actions. I am caught in my own trap. Ransom." Leia shut her eyes for a moment, shocked by the depth of her sorrow and anger. In this hour, it was as though he had never betrayed her, as though their friendship were still as strong as it had been the night they shared some of their darkest secrets. "This didn't happen because you outed me. This happened because you defended me. Because I saw that my enemy had actually been my one true ally. And now I have learned that my so-called allies were my enemies after all." Ransom's composure finally broke. He held out his cuffed hands and she took them, even though his grip was so desperate it ached. "Leia, I'm sorry. I lost your friendship in the worst possible way. I wish I'd never told the Senate about Vader. I wish I hadn't judged you by his actions. You hated him. You feared him. You reacted on instinct." Leia still felt that was not an excuse, but it was a reason. One she could comprehend and even forgive. He continued, "It helps knowing that you'll go on, knowing that you'll stand up to the people in the Senate who could be this corrupt. Maybe you don't have the official power any longer, but I've seen you find ways around the rules." "I can't do this forever." Exhausted by her mad dash here, hollowed by her fear and grief for Ransom, Leia felt every day of her age in her body. They'd been hard years, too. The work ahead belonged to other, younger, stronger people. She had believed Ransom might be the one. But that dream, like so many others, was being crushed to dust. One of the guards stepped forward again.
"Transport's due to leave. We can't delay any longer."
But Leia couldn't even get the objection out before the guards began hustling Ransom away again. She ran after them, unashamed to make a spectacle of herself. "One more thing. Just one more thing!" The guards said nothing to her, but they stopped walking. Ransom looked back at her, and he seemed younger to her than he ever had. Far too young to die. "When I first met you, I thought... I said once that you would have served the Empire if you'd been alive during the war. I said I could imagine you in an Imperial uniform." Leia shook her head. "I was wrong. You wouldn't have fought for the Empire. You would have been with us."
"With you," Ransom repeated. Once again, he gave her that wounded smile. "I hope that's true."
Then the guards continued marching, and Ransom let himself be led. He did not look back again. In that instant, her anger rose to a nearly uncontrollable fury. If she'd had a blaster, she might have fired it. Her rage could have driven her to kill others, innocents, just to make sure Ransom Casterfo didn't have to needlessly die. She realized then something she had never fully understood before. She'd always wondered what had led her father to turn to the dark side, to become Darth Vader. She'd imagined it came from ambition, greed, or some other venal weakness. Never had she considered that the turn might begin in a better place, out of the desire to save someone or to avenge a great wrong. Even if it led to evil, that first impulse might be born of loyalty, a sense of justice, or even love. Had it been like that for her father? She could never know.
But for the first time in a very long while, she had some sense of who Anakin Skywalker might have been before his fall, and of the goodness that must have survived in him through all the darkness, all the years. Leia stood in the hangar, breathing hard, staring at the transport vessel. She didn't flinch when its engines roared to life, didn't budge amid the gale of displaced air as it lifted off. Instead, she remained still and watched the transport rise into the sky until it became so tiny and so distant that she would never see it again. She remembered this terrible heaviness in her chest from the days of the war, when she'd had to send troops out on missions from which they would never return. Even though she had known the rightness of their cause, she had always found the sense of loss and waste almost unbearable. But she had borne it then. She could bear it now. And the certainty taking hold in her mind as she watched Ransom go to his death was one that she already knew would shape her from that day forward. Only the centrists could be responsible for this. The populists had no motive to eliminate nearly the only member of the other faction who would sometimes take their side. That meant the centrists were eating their own. Not only were they attacking populists on every side, they were also eliminating the members of their own faction who didn't share their zeal for power. They had no use for moderates, no use for peace. The centrists actively sought war, had perhaps been planning this for a very long time, and they'd begun removing every obstacle in their way. Despite her long disillusionment with the political process, Leia only now realized the Senate was doomed no matter what she did. War had become inevitable. Lady Carice Sindian was having an excellent morning. She'd given the right quotes to the right sources about her shock regarding Castorfo's arrest the day before. Like all honest centrists, she washed her hands of him. They would not let their faction and their beliefs be dragged down by one man's criminal actions. No, indeed, the centrists would carry on. Unbeknownst to most, they were moving on very quickly already. The Senate had resolved on only one motion yesterday, which was to postpone the vote for the first senator. In the wake of Tylin Gar's assassination and Ransom Castorfo's arrest, a majority agreed that the political situation was too volatile to support an election in the near future. Lady Carice and her allies had voted for this because by now they had begun concocting a far superior solution. Secession. It would take a few months to put events in motion. They needed a firm structure before proceeding. But soon, the centrist worlds would leave the New Republic, tearing themselves from the mire of the Senate's inaction to create and support the First Order. Her heart sang merely thinking of it. Lady Carice was smiling as she turned the corner that led directly to her office, then froze when she saw who was standing in front of her.
Princess Leia?
Lucky running into you here, said the princess, who stood not 2 meters from Lady Carice's office door. I've been meaning to have a chat with you for some time.
As you know, I'm always ready to hear from a member of the Elder Houses.
Lady Carice could afford to be generous in triumph. Maybe Princess Leia would finally turn to her now that she had no other allies, and start behaving with proper respect toward a fellow noble.
Yes, let's catch up. What have you been doing these days? Besides being outmaneuvered at every turn, I mean.
Princess Leia smiled. I've been getting in touch with some old friends, including, as it happens, the most senior members of the Elder Houses.
Oh, really?
Lady Carice had begun to realize just how much anger was hidden by the princess's smile.
Yes. You see, there was a matter we very much needed to discuss, namely the sanctity of the Royal Seal as applied to the holdings of the Supreme Governor of Beeren.
Princess Leia's tone remained cordial, but her gaze sharpened.
I imagine you thought I'd be too distracted to notice, and to be fair, I was for a while.
But it didn't take me too long to realize that the keepsake chest could only have been hidden on Beeren. Only the Supreme Governor could have had access to it. And the Supreme Governor, namely you, had been through weeks of rituals surrounding the inauguration, in which the Governor-to-be repeatedly promises to uphold the sanctity of the Royal Seal no matter what. You didn't even last a month. Lady Carice had been prepared for an altercation like this when Casterfo first revealed the truth, but in the weeks since, she'd been lulled into believing Leia would either never notice or simply let it go. So she found herself at a loss for words.
Well, I suppose, but I felt, in such an extreme moral crisis...
The oath demands that the Supreme Governor uphold the sanctity of the Royal Seal unto death. Princess Leia raised an eyebrow. Don't worry. I don't intend to pursue this to the fullest extent of the law. It was enough to contact the ruling members of the Elder Houses and convince them to finally pass a resolution, the first one they've bothered to pass in years. To be specific, they've stripped you of your royal titles, forever. The title of Supreme Governor of Beeren will go to the next person in the line of succession, and you are no longer a member of the Elder Houses.
Could she accomplish such a thing? Could it be possible?
Lady Carice felt as if her knees might give out.
You can't! It's mine by right of birth! Nobility is sacred! They wouldn't take it away like that!
Princess Leia sighed and shook her head. It's been a very long time since nobility was sacred to anyone but you. It's such a small punishment, both for what you did to me and especially for what I believe you did to Ransom. But it hurts, doesn't it? It has to cut you to the quick. You've never been able to convince yourself you were superior to anyone except through an accident of your birth, which, by the way, is one of the saddest things I can imagine. Lady Carice's breaths were coming so fast she might hyperventilate.
They couldn't take her titles away. They couldn't! But apparently they already had.
This is the only punishment I have the power to enact anymore, so I have to content myself with hurting you. For now. Princess Leia smiled. Goodbye, Carice.
Carice. Just Carice. From this day on, she would only be Carice Syndian. She could imagine no greater humiliation. So Carice could only stand there, gulping for breath, as she watched the princess walk away.
Late that evening, Leia changed out of her senatorial robes into a plain tan coverall and one of Han's leather jackets. It hung big on her, but smelled comfortingly of him, even so long after he'd been gone. She laced up her boots and headed toward a little used hangar on the edge of the capital city, one she'd signed an exclusive lease on the day before. The hangar wouldn't serve their purposes for long. She would have to think bigger, hide deeper, and go farther. For now, however, they only needed a place to begin. When Leia walked inside, she saw that everyone she'd contacted was already there. She'd been early, but they came even earlier. In the back were those who had traveled farthest to help her. Nine Num, Emat, and even Admiral Ackbar, standing straight, ready to serve. To the side was Harder Colonia, who hadn't hesitated to accept Leia's invitation, and thank goodness. It was always good to have a doctor on hand who knew how to keep a secret. Clustered closer were the young pilots she'd recruited, chosen from either those she had worked with personally, such as Joff Seastriker, who stood at the very front, or those Joff and the other pilots had vouched for, such as Snap Wexley and Zari Bangle. But one person she hadn't invited came toward her now.
Greer?
Leia put her hands on her assistant's shoulders. What are you doing here? I told you for your own protection you shouldn't know any more about this than is strictly necessary.
Exactly.
Greer said with a smile.
And since I'm going to be one of your top pilots, it's probably necessary for me to learn everything.
No. You know you can't...
I know. I'm supposed to play it safe and tame and calm so I can live a long life that's nothing like the one I actually want to lead. And I'm supposed to just stand by instead of supporting a cause I believe in.
Shaking her head, Greer said,
I'd rather burn in a better kind of flame.
Even as Leia's heart ached, she knew better than to argue. Instead, she simply hugged the younger woman briefly before turning back toward the group, which was falling into an expectant silence. Thank you, everyone, for coming tonight, Leia began. Whether you're an old friend or a new one, you're here because you've shown courage. You've shown initiative. You've seen the coming danger, and you're willing to do whatever it takes to protect the peaceful worlds of this galaxy from war.
We're ready.
Joff's blue eyes were bright with excitement. War would dim that joy too quickly. Leia wished she could keep his youthful enthusiasm safe somewhere, that she could bottle it or tuck it away, but knew it was just one more sacrifice the approaching conflict would claim. She warned, "Don't speak too soon. Every one of you has to fully understand that this movement, this organization, is not sanctioned by the Galactic Senate. For now, and possibly forever, we operate beyond governmental control. That may mean bending some laws, and breaking others."
"Never stopped us before,"
Ackbar rasped. Greer added,
"We've already got a few hundred thermal detonators. It's a start."
Leia scanned the room and saw no doubts, no hesitation. These people trusted her. They were ready. Finally, she was ready too. "The sun is setting on the New Republic," Leia said. "It's time for the Resistance to rise."